We have an evening service too, on the same day. Amen. And you can come back. We'd love to have you. But anyway, we'll go on. It says here, but the first day of the week, that's the Sunday. It says here, when the doors were shut, and right now they're shut, and it's locked, and you know we're safe. Nobody can get in here unless Brother Roger goes back there and opens that door. Brother Todd can see him on the camera, and he can give Brother Roger a little thumbs up. Hey, somebody's late. Go let them in. Because we're safe. The doors are shut. And so forth. But then it goes on to say that the disciples were there. All 12 of them were assembled. Or I guess 11 of the 12 were assembled. And it says here, and the Jews, they were assembled there because they were feared of the Jews. Obviously, the Jews were, he came to his own received him not, and they were accusing him and wanting to crucify him, things like that. And of course, the disciples were, in fellowship with him, so they were scared that they were going to try to kill them too. And so they were there in that upper room, assembled for the fear. And of course, you know, today you go out in this world and you look what's going on in the news and you see on social media and things like that. There's lots of things going on that we might be scared of. But in here, all right, we got God, we have His Word, we have His Holy Spirit, and we have our fellowship. So it's safe in here and so forth. Then it says here, and Jesus stood in the midst. And of course, it gives the connotation here that He didn't use the door. He just showed up. All right, and today He's here. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in His name, He is in the midst. And so He didn't come through the door. He didn't knock. He didn't have to have Brother Roger go let Him in. He just showed up. All right, so He is here. And so we're going to look at that. But then He says here, peace be unto you. And when He said that, He showed to them His hands and His side to let them know it was Him. Wasn't an imposter. Look, this is where they nailed me to the cross. This is where they pierced me in the side. And He'd already said, peace, calm down. I know you're scared, but you just calm down. And it says here, and then were His disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. He said it again. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. And so there's that same promise. He breathed on them. Look, I want you to go out and witness like God sent me down here to do. And here you go. Here's the power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 23, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Of course, He's obviously given the Word of God. He didn't just give them the ability to forgive and to retain. He said, you know, obviously follow the Word of God. And then verse 26 says here, after 8 days again, His disciples were within, and Thomas was there this time. And it says here, then Jesus came, and the doors being shut again, He stood in the midst. And so now that Thomas was there, He said the same thing, peace be unto you. And of course, Thomas, he wanted to see what everybody else saw and so forth. But we're going to look and see, why did Jesus start the church? What's so important about having services at the church? We're going to look at that today. We're going to see some things here in our introduction that it's not why the church was started. Nothing wrong with doing this at the church, and you'll understand this in just a second. But that's not why the church was started, because you can do these other things outside of the church. But what we're going to look at in the main points is what you're supposed to do inside this service. And so let's look, I'll give you a couple of verses. It says that at the same day they came back, they were in the evening, and then it says here they assembled. And of course, Hebrews 10:25, very familiar verse, and we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're supposed to go to church. And in Psalm 111, verse 10, it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So they were assembled in fear. But in doing that, that was them starting to get some wisdom. In other words, they were assembled there saying, God help. We're scared of what's going on. And we need your presence. We need your guidance. We need your wisdom. And so they had assembled there because of fear. But we see that we're supposed to fear. In other words, a holy respect for God. That He can handle anything. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So once we have that mindset that I need God's help, I can't do this by myself, right? That's why I'm going to church today. I know, you know, I'm the pastor, but you know, about Thursday afternoon, I was like, whew, I need Sunday to get here. I need to sing some hymns. I need to pray some prayers. I need God's presence. I need His help, and I need some encouragement. And so we see here that when we get that mindset, we're starting to get it. We're starting to get some wisdom. We're starting to get some knowledge about us, that I need God's help. If you were in Sunday school, you saw that Solomon, that was what he pleased God with, his speech. And in his speech, he was saying that my dad, David, was a great king. And he did all this, this, and this. But thou are the one that helped him do that. Now what I need, in that verse that we read in Sunday school, says I can't even go in and out by myself. I can't control these millions of people. So I need your help, just like my dad had your help. And so we see that fear of adulting, I guess that's a word these days, that fear of raising kids, that fear of being a witness in this world, we need God. We got to have that mindset. And that's when we start to get it. It says here that Jesus came in the midst. And so in Matthew 18:20, it says this, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So again, we can't see Jesus here today. And even if when we talk about it, and we talk about, and you hear a song about the church, or you hear a song that we sang in our hymns, and maybe you did get a goosebump or two, or maybe you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, that's awesome. That's good. All right, but we realize we just got to believe it by faith, that there's more than two or three people here today that are saved, and we're gathered, and Jesus says, I'm here. So whether we see Him, whether we feel Him, all right, He's here. And so we have to have that. And He said, peace be unto you. We're going to go through this verse real quick. John 14:27 says, peace I leave you with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So just like He was trying to calm them down and saying, hey, I'm here. I'm giving you peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe, of course, there's other verses. You believe in God, you can believe also in me. If in my Father's house are many mansions. He's going on and telling us, I'm trying to give you peace. And then it says here, the disciples were glad. Here's another verse. Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. So last night, again, when I was looking through my notes and praying and things like that, I was glad that Sunday's tomorrow. Tuesday, I'll come up and study and prepare for Wednesday night, and I'll be glad when Wednesday night gets here. And that's what that God's saying, hey, if you're worried about stuff out there, if you're feared about life and about the future, and if you're feared about what's going on here, hey, just go to church, and I'll give you some peace. It's kind of like you've heard a preacher say, man, I was so pumped up, I could attack hell with a squirt gun. You know why he got that? Because he got some peace when he was at church. And he was like, hey, the Bible says this, and when we agree together, the Bible says, I mean, we can get a lot of things done. So we see here, I give you peace, not like this world gives you peace, but what I give you. And the disciples were glad. So what they had done, they had created an excitement and a longing. And again, this is what the Bible talks about to us parents. We got to teach our kids that. You know, we hear a lot of this in the day. My parents made me go to church. My parents this. And my parents. And what they're doing, they're using that as an excuse not to serve God, not to go to church anymore, not to do right. So now I'm going to live it up. And of course, that's not found in this Bible, except those that eat, drink, and be merry and bust hell wide open one day. So we know that's not the way God wanted it. And so it says here, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Luke 14:23. Another verse about that. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And so obviously God wants us to bring other people to the church. And that's what He told His disciples. Then it says here, He breathed on them. And I had a thing of mints, but they were rattling in my pocket, so I left them on my desk. But if you're going to breathe on somebody, brushing your teeth and a mint would be a positive thing. All right? But this is not what He's talking about. Okay? He's not breathing halitosis or however you say it, on them. He's not, all right? But things like that. Or He's not like blowing on them. No, it's talking about the Holy Ghost. So, He said, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So this is what he's telling them while he's meeting there at this the Last Supper there with them, or in the upper room there. It says here, and when did Jesus start the church? Matthew 16:18 says, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. He was talking to Peter. And upon this rock, he was pointing at himself, if you want to have a picture there. He didn't say, thou art Peter, and upon you I'll build my church. But he said, upon this, this rock I will build my church. And we know there's several verses that he's the chief head cornerstone, and that's where it was built. And Jesus is where it's built, not Peter. But it says here, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you can come into the church and have no fear that God's going to take care of it. The gates of hell can't prevail against it. And so we're going to see a couple things here in the introduction, and then we'll get into the outline. Here's some things that we can do at the church, but it's not why the church was started. Okay, and the first one is this. He did not start the church for a place of worship. And again, somebody goes, oh! Okay. You can do that while you're here. I hope you do. Right? But that's not why he started the church. Why? Because if you look to see what worship is, praying, what did he say about praying? Enter into your closet in secret. Okay, so it's not, you have your closet, you can pray to God. I hope you pray to God here. Some of you love singing in the shower and in your car by yourself. And you say, man, I sound as good as whoever, whatever professional gospel singer you want to say. And things like that, because you like it. And I've done it, sung in my vehicle. And I've had to pull over on the side of the road. Why? Because, I mean, God's presence was there. The Holy Spirit was there. I got overwhelmed with the truth of that song. And I was worshiping God right there in my pickup. And I didn't have to be at church to do that. So that's not the only place we can do that. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Nothing wrong with singing at church. Do it. Nothing wrong with praying at the church. Do it. But that's what happened. The hypocrites started doing that to be seen of men. So if you're coming to the church to sing, you know, louder than everybody, and here's how everybody looks, all right? Or you know, I'm the greatest singer here. If that's pharisaical, all right? Then it goes from worship to, ugh. And you're going to see here in a minute, God hates that. If we're doing it to be seen of men, God hates it. So he didn't start the church just to say a place of worship or to do these things. So we see that we can worship God alone. Probably better than we can in front of others. Because when we're in front of others, we're thinking about it. Do I sound spiritual enough? Am I saying the right thing? Am I being spiritual enough? We don't worry about those things when we're talking to God. Hey, it's me again. I blew it. I'm about the dumbest creation you've ever created. I don't even know why I'm alive. Right? We wouldn't say that in front of other people. Our blessed Heavenly Father, how glorious and blah, 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 blah. And we're going to see that God doesn't like that. He wants us to talk from our heart. He wants us to be honest. And so we see here that he didn't start the church just for a place of worship. The Lord rebuked the Pharisees for praying and forgiving in public and to be seen of man. He told us in Matthew 6:6, pray in secret in thy closet. And he even said in Matthew 6:3, when you're giving, I'm going to paraphrase this verse. Don't even let this hand know what this hand's doing. Okay? So, we're not supposed to come to church just to give. Or we're not supposed to come to church just to worship. We can do that without the church. And that's what the Pharisees got in trouble with. They started praying to be seen of men. They started giving to be seen of men. And so, we see that we can pray together, and often we're more concerned about what others think or how we sound instead of just talking to God. 1 Chronicles 16:29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. So right there in that verse, it's okay to give at church. It's okay to sing at church. It's okay to worship at church. But that's not the reason that He started it. Because we can do all those things without Him. The key there in there is we're supposed to adore Him at the church. We're supposed to magnify Him at the church. We're supposed to give honor to Him at the church. That's why you'll hear praise. Lord, anything that's said and done, let it be to honor and glorify You. Right? Not for me to worship. That is worshiping. But again, we get some things out of whack. And I've seen this in religions, and you probably have too. When we get the thing that we're supposed to do above Jesus, we're out of whack. What have some religions do? They take Jesus and they slide Mary right up here. Mary was a great lady. She was picked by God, hand-picked. I mean, a wonderful Christian lady. God picked her, but she's not more important than Jesus. Right? Jesus died on the cross, not Mary. Jesus rose again, not Mary. Jesus will save you, not Mary. So same thing here. That's important. But that's not more important than Jesus. A lot of religions say you got to do that to get there. No. You got to get Jesus in your heart and be saved to get there. Now you ought to do that to show everybody what you did. But if we put more importance on that than we do Him, we're out of whack. Works. The Bible says do them. Okay? Because if you do works, people can see those works and they'll glorify God. But if we get the works more important than Jesus, especially if we're trying to earn our salvation, you can't do it. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So we ought to have works, but we can't put the works. So same thing with worship. A lot of churches today, their main focus, I'm sorry, but their main focus is the worship. Let's get our worship on. Not let's glorify Jesus. Let's worship from our heart. Not let's glorify Jesus. And some of that stuff they call worship today, I don't see how in the world that's worship. It's more like a rock concert than a worship service. So we see that's not why Jesus started the church. I'm all for the right kind of worship. I think we saw it and felt it and heard it this morning. I mean, all those songs that Brother Derek picked this morning. I mean, top-notch hymns. My wife's song was great. But none of that was greater than Jesus. We got to keep Jesus first. So the idea that the church is a place to worship, that came from Rome, not from the Bible. And it came more about the formalities and their garb and their traditions. And so today, I mean, they may say Jesus' name, but it's all about what they look like, what they're eating, what they're doing, all those formalities, and that's their worship. And Jesus is put over to the side. So that's not why Jesus started the church, for a place of worship. Because you can worship Him out in the field. Now again, you can get that out of whack. I'm just not going to go to church because the pastor said we can worship Jesus out in the field. Right, you can. But you're commanded to go to church. So don't get it twisted as well. So when we took... this will take place in the Bible. And what I was just talking about, when it became more about the festivities and what they were doing and all their dotting their I's and crossing their T's of their traditions. Listen to what God said about it. It's found in Amos 5, 21 and 23. And again, this is not my words. This is God's words. I was pretty tough on some things I just said, but it's based on the Bible, not on my opinion. So when we worship... That worship can't become more important than Jesus. Because when it does, this is what God said. Verse 21, Amos 5, 21. I hate. The Bible says, these six things doth God hate, yea, seven are abomination. God says right here in verse 21, I hate. I despise your feast days. All that stuff you're eating and taking and things like that, you've put more importance on that than you have me. And I hate it. And I despise it. And it says here, I will not smell your solemn assemblies. That's what we do in our worship and our singing and our praising. It ought to be a sweet-smelling savor. It ought to be coming from a heart that says, Jesus, you're first. Jesus, you're number one. Jesus, you're more important than anybody, anything. And with all my being and all my desire, I want to keep you there. If not, he's like, I hate it. I despise it. I'm not even going to smell it. Verse 22. Though you offer me a burnt offering and your meat offering, I will not accept it. So a lot of people out here today, they're thinking, I'm giving this to Jesus. I'm giving this to God. He's like, I'm not accepting it. It's not how I said to do it in the Bible. Plus, your mindset is all about that, not me. I will not accept it. I will not regard the peace offering and your fat beast. Verse 23, take thou away from me this noise of thy song, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. I mean, that's pretty tough words. But that's what God said. When it becomes more about worship than it becomes about His Son, I don't want to hear it. Get it away from me. So, worship is not why He started the church. So, when it becomes more about the production, it ceases to be about Jesus. You could turn, you could say worship, Jesus at church, but that's not why Jesus started the church. Number two, here's another one. This is going to be like, what? I mean, I didn't say you can't worship at church, but that's not why He started it. And I think this, I know this takes place at church, but this is not why He started it. He did not start the church for evangelism. Everybody's like, oh, I got saved at church. I'm glad the church was there. I got evangelized at the church. But that's not why He started the church. Acts 5:42. He wanted evangelism to go on daily, not just wait for Sunday. If somebody came to you and said, what must I do to be saved? Come with me on Sunday. Well, it's Monday. I got to wait till then? No, he wants the gospel to get out daily, not just at church. Not just on Sunday. And so Acts 5:42, it says here, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So He didn't start the church just for evangelism on Sunday. He wanted that to go on every day of the week. He said, I don't want you to just wait till Sunday. So evangelism took place everywhere. Acts 8, 1 and 4. It says here, and they were scattered abroad. They weren't just at assembly. Or at the church, they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And verse 4 says this, and they were scattered abroad everywhere preaching the word. So He didn't say, hey, I'm going to start the church and the only time you can give the gospel and the only time you can witness and the only time you can talk about me is just on Sunday. Now the world would love that. We get door slammed. We get curse words. We get written up by HR, being too spiritual at work. They're trying to squish that. Your neighbors, don't talk to me about that. I'm an atheist. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, they would wish we would hush. But God says, hey, I want it to go on every day of the week. Don't just wait till Sunday. So two things that might be a misnomer. God didn't start the church just for worship, because you can do that without the church. He didn't start it to evangelize, because you can do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. House to house. From jailhouse to jailhouse, to nursing home, to sidewalk, to neighborhood. You can get the gospel everywhere, anytime. It says here they were scattered abroad. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So you can go to creature to creature. So I'm not against preaching the gospel at church. But if that's the only time we ever preached it, we're leaving out a whole lot. Plus, what He tells me as a pastor to preach is the whole counsel. So if all I ever preached about was be saved, 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 we'd have a bunch of babies running around. He says, I want you to preach, when you're at church, preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. All of it. Now, most likely, especially if I look around and there's some people that not usually here or here, the gospel's coming in somehow. I'm sorry. All right? Because maybe they were invited and their loved one is saying, I hope they get saved at church. So we're going to do that. But it's not going to be, you know, Romans Road, Romans Road, Romans Road, Romans Road, 360 or 52 Sundays a year, 52 Wednesday nights a year. No, it's going to be from cover to cover, all of it. That's what we're supposed to do at church. So we see here, we're supposed to preach the gospel, the Bible says. We're supposed to preach Christ and Him crucified. The foolishness of the cross. I'm supposed to preach all that. But then He also says that you ought to preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Exhort. Rebuke. I don't like those. God, they're going to be mad at me. They're going to think I'm talking about them. Okay? And if I am talking about them or you or anybody, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm just preaching what He said to preach. And so then doctrine, instruction in righteousness, rightly divide the whole Bible. That's what we're supposed to do at church. 2 Timothy 4:3 says this, "For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers with itching ears." So you have this pendulum that swings about church. You know, gospel, 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 gospel. And I'm for it. Well, we can do that every day of the week. And then there's these ones that, you know, just teach, just teach, just teach, just teach, just teach. That's hard to say real fast. All right, just teach. What are they wanting? In other words, if you're just teaching, no way you're going to get on my sin. No way you're going to step on my toes. So just teach us something that sounds fun and sounds exciting. I'm for that. I like to say, man, God showed me this. And that's awesome. I've never thought of that. I like learning new things. And again, you know, the ashes of the red heifer, where are they? Did Adam and Eve have a belly button? I don't know. All this, teach, 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 teach. And again, I'm for that. But we got to do all of it. The ones that say, you know, just teach, just teach. They're trying to hide out sometimes because the Holy Spirit's trying to get them. So as you hear, the preaching at the church is not for just making saints, but it's for the perfecting of the saints. That's what Jesus said. All right, so if it was just for making saints, it would be about the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. And I'm for it. But He says, disciples, all 12 of you, you go out and give it from house to house, every place, every creature. That's how I want the gospel to get out. But when you come to the church, we've got to teach the whole counsel. We've got to preach it from Genesis to Revelation. We've got to preach all of that. So, and the gospel. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It says here, and some apostles. We don't have any of those anymore. Okay? All right, the day of the apostle is not here. So if apostle somebody, they're not. Same here. Prophet somebody. The day of the prophet's gone. Okay? Now here's where we are. And some evangelists. We have some of those. And we have had some of those. And it says here, and some pastors and teachers. And here it is, for the perfecting of the saints. That's what the New Testament in our day and time, this is what church is for. To preach the Bible, to teach the Bible, and for the perfecting of the saints. Hopefully those saints that came to Sunday school this morning, they got a little bit more perfect when they heard about their speech was supposed to be well-pleasing to God. That Christian that came here today said, hey, the church is for me to come in and fellowship and not to fear and to have peace that God has for me. I'm learning. That's perfected. So this is here for the saints and the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is saved believers. So we see here we're supposed to go to church for the perfecting of the saints. So the church was not started for a place of worship only. It was not started for a place of evangelism only. I'm for both of those at the church. That's not all we're going to do. Here's the outline, and I got to go fast, and they are. They're just pop, pop, pop. What is the church for? What was it started for? A place of comfort. We've already seen that. He said, peace. Peace I give you. I hope today when you leave that the Holy Spirit has comforted you. I can't comfort you. I'm just a human like you are. I'm just a sinner like you are. I might can say something from the Word of God that's comforting. I can pray for you, and that would be comforting. But God says, hey, I want you to comfort. I'm giving y'all peace. John 20:19 says this, in the same day, in the evening, and the first day, He came in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. John 14:27, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. The church is a place to dispel fear, to get rid of fear, to give us peace. If that person has an incurable disease, that's fearful. But you can come to church and realize, hey, God knows. That's why you need to be saved. Because to be absent from the body when it takes your life, you will be the presence of the Lord. Even somebody that's got a death sentence, if they come to church and hear that, that ought to be comforting. I went to the funeral. The preacher that did Miss Rebecca's grandmother's funeral, he used those words, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. So that's heartbreaking to lose a loved one. But in a church service, you can get some peace. Your loved one was saved. You're saved. You're going to see Him again. That's what it's there for. To give peace. If you get this bad news, incurable disease. Here's one. Financial reversal. It plummeted. It all blew up. The retirement's not coming through. Oh. God still got you. I've never seen the righteous begging bread. He's got you. He's going to take care of it. Now, it's smart to be prepared and it's smart to do that. But God's the one that's going to give you comfort. Here's one. You know, you go to some funerals, there's not very many people at them. Because they've outlived all their friends and all their relatives. Right? And they're scared of being left alone. But what's Jesus say? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you might be all by yourself, you think. But Jesus can come put His arm around you. So I'm right here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's comfort. That's what the church is for. Yeah, I'm for praising and worshiping. And I'm for soul winning and evangelism. But God says, hey, open those doors and let them come in. You just tell them I love them. And you tell them I got it. And I can take care of everything. They're not going to be by themselves. I got it. That ought to be comforting. That's what a church is for. Here's another one. Encouragement. Okay. Sometimes I say it. And everybody out there, he's supposed to say that. That's what we pay him for. Preach the Bible. He's supposed to say that. But if your friend down there on the other end of the pew says exactly what I just preached, you're like, wow, that was so smart. I wish my preacher was that smart. I just said it. But you know, it's encouraging for another Christian, iron sharpeneth iron, love, to say the same thing. That's what church is there for. He started a church for comfort. He started a church for encouragement. Hebrews 10:25. We said not to forsake ourselves together. Why? But exhorting one another. Hey, you can do it. I'll see you next Sunday. I'll see you tonight. I'll see you Wednesday. Hey, the Bible says, even wackadoo preacher up there said, this is how God wants us to do. Exhort one another. Encourage one another. That's what church is for. People that fear should come to church. And they're like, look, there's probably 60 other wackadoos here today. Believe the same Bible. Believes in the same God, believes in the same salvation, I must be right. There's comfort in that. There's encouragement in that. So most of the time, we think we need to be alone when we just need to be assembled so we can get encouraged. I mean, I've seen people get that news, incurable disease. You don't need to just, I mean, I guess you got to process and you do need some alone time, but you need to come. Because this is where God wants you to be comforted. This is where God wants you to be encouraged. I got this news and I got this news. This situation in life. This situation. Come to church. Again, not for me, but for Jesus to comfort you. Jesus and others to encourage you. So Jesus is no respecter of persons. He will comfort you just like He'll comfort anybody else. He wants all of us to have peace. He wants all of us to have comfort. He wants all of us to be encouraged. James 2:2-4 says this. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring. I wasn't watching at the door this morning. Neither was Brother Roger. We weren't checking out the rings as everybody walked in. And the thickness, I mean, it used to be the thickness of the wallet. Nowadays, nobody uses cash. In other words, God's not saying, okay, only rich people can come in here. Then it says here, or also come a poor man. I mean, his clothes are tattered. They're wore out. God says, hey, when you come to the house of God, both of them get treated the same way. Both of them get comfort. Both of them get encouragement. Both of them can feel my presence. Treat them both the same. So, we've all heard the statement, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. It's the same way here at church. We don't have big shots, little shots, big wigs, little wigs. We have sinners that are saved by the grace of God. That's what we have. Amen? And so, come for a place of comfort. Come for a place of encouragement. Here's another one. We've already done this, and I'll go through it quickly. A place of giving. Place of giving. So, the Pharisees whacked it the other way on their giving. They did it out in public. But it'd be seen in men. No, God says, hey, come here. Don't let this hand know what this hand's doing. but I want you to give to me. 1 Corinthians 16:1. I'll just read one verse about it. Now concerning the collection. That's when the plates get passed. Up for the saints. Save people. As I have given order to the church at Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, that morning and that evening of that first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, that God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. So God wants this church to be a place of comfort, a place of giving, and a place of blessing. A lot of times we hear, giving, 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 oh, that's my money. God doesn't need our money. He created all of it. The Bible says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So what God knows is if they'll give their money, like the Bible says, then I can give them a blessing. That's what I want to do. So when we come to church and give our tithes, yes, it takes care of the bills. It takes care of the missionaries, the offerings due, and it takes care of the other things that we want to do. But God says, look, when I see that, I'm going to bless you. It talks about give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, with all shall it be measured to you again. God's like, look, give at church, yes, but I want to give you a blessing. Next, it's a place for maturing. We've already talked about that. We saw in Ephesians 11 through 15, 4, 11 through 15, that those evangelists, those pastors, those teachers were for the perfecting of the saints. Why? It says here, till we all come to the unity of faith, so we're supposed to mature, till we all come to the unity of faith, we all agree how we get to heaven, all that stuff. It says here, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. We're supposed to continue, continue, continue. Then it says, unto you the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we're supposed to keep coming to church and keep coming to church till we get just like Jesus. And we know the only way we're going to be able to do that is when we're like Him and get our glorified body. So the Bible says, keep coming to church till you come to heaven. And it says, that henceforth be no more children. I don't want you to be baby Christians. I want you to go to church as much as you can. Because if you don't, you're going to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of me and the cunning of craftiness, for while they lie in wait to deceive you. So if that Christian gets saved and just doesn't go to church faithful, they're going to be in and out, up and down, believe this, believe that. They're just going to get knocked all about. But he says, if you'll go to church, this is the reason I started it, so you could mature. So you would know the doctrines and you know what I want to do. Be speaking the truth that you may grow up into Him all things, the head, even Christ. So the quickest way to be deceived by false doctrine is skip church. The quickest way to be messed up by some craftiness of the devil is to skip church. But the best way to beat that is to be faithful to church. So the body of Christ is a local New Testament church. Jesus owns it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And He made it so we could have peace. And we could have encouragement. And we could have blessing. And we could mature. And the last one, so that we can have fellowship. So we can have fellowship. He wants us to fellowship. And you heard the definition of fellowship. That's two fellows in the same ship heading in the same direction. And so, obviously, we are here to fellowship. And God says, hey, that's why I want you to come. I want you to come to church so you can grow. The church will help you grow. Hopefully the pastor can help you grow. The Sunday school teacher can help you grow. The evangelist that comes in can help you grow. If we come to church wanting that inspiration and that wanting to be mature in our Christian life. So, it's a place of inspiration, and it's a place of fellowship. Acts 2:41 and 42 says this, and they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added to the church. So, you get saved, you get baptized, you join a church. And then what does it say? It says here, and they continued steadfastly. In other words, whenever the church doors were open, they were there. And the apostles, in the apostles' doctrine, and they said here, in fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. That breaking bread, obviously, they were commanded to do just like what we're commanded to do. As many times as you want to break bread, and you do that in remembrance of me. That's what the church is for. So we see here it's a place of comfort, a place of encouragement, a place to give, a place to mature, a place to get inspired, and a place to fellowship. It's not just for worshiping. It's not just for evangelism. And the world's even added some other things out there today. It's not a social club. It's not where people get status. Okay? It's not, you know, that status. It's not, here's another one today. It's not for entertainment. I think I said this last week. I'm going to preach the Word of God, but I'm not going to do it standing on my head spinning in a circle or trying to keep a bunch of plates going while I'm preaching it. I'm not going to do that. It's not for entertainment, but there's a lot of churches out there today. Fog machines, lights flashing. And, whoa! Man, that was awesome. And the Bible wasn't even preached. The doctrines weren't taught. That's not what Jesus started the church for. Anything can become above Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, if we're going to be the salt, if we're going to be the light, we need the church. We saw in these last 3 weeks, we need the Scriptures. We need the Spirit. And we need the services. If we don't have those, we're going to lose that savor. We're going to lose that source of power for that light. And we're just going to be worth nothing but be trodden under man's feet. And we're going to be hidden under a bushel. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us the invitation. If you'd like to come pray, the altar's open. Or you can pray right there at your seat. I love my church. I need my church.